Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Tom.
Yay!
Tom, yay!
Tom Goodwin. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. Staying warm, trying to keep warm in this cold winter weather, which is, we welcome it, but I'm really glad with y'all.
Nothing like being in the mountains for cold weather. It's like, put the fireplace going and look at the bears run around. And
yes, I just saw a bear yesterday, so they're still out. That's great. Oh.
Love it. Love it. Well, Tom, you're known amongst the circles that we run in, but maybe not the larger circle of all vacation rentals. And we do breach over to the short-term rental side of the business. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be in the business?
Like most people, I stumbled into the business. I married into the business, actually. So my wife's parents started Mountain Laurel Chalets in Gatlinburg quite by accident in 1972, when some of the legacy hotels would fill up. They would call Dot and Ralph Egli and say, do you have extra room at your house? We have a couple that showed up and we don't have any more rooms available. And so my wife and her sister would move out of their double queen room with an ensuite bath with a sliding door to the deck, and they would rent out that room. So it was B&B before there was B&B, and certainly before there was Airbnb in 1970. And so I married my wife in 1992. So I got that right, 30, almost 32 years ago. And in that process, discovered that her family was really involved in the Gatlinburg community and ran a hospitality business and managed other people's vacation homes. So that's the first I ever heard about it. And they really involved the family in the business through owning various properties and cleaning houses on Thanksgiving. When we missed a house on Thanksgiving, we'd get up from the table and go clean. And so I've had exposure to the vacation rental industry since 1992. And in 2012, we kind of discovered that things weren't as we thought they would be at the business. And so we began asking some questions and kind of doing some audits and behind the scene exploration. We realized this is a good time for the children to get more involved in the business, and the parents welcomed that. Family said, Tom, we think you're the one that could come in and help be the general manager and turn things around in 18 months and get us on the right track. So I signed up in June of 2012. For an 18-month personal leave of absence from my job, and thought, oh, in 18 months, we'll get this. Maybe 6 months, I thought we could get it settled. You know, 11 years later, now my wife owns the company. Her parents have since passed away. We're really glad that all this happened while they were still alive, so we could make sure that there would be a secure next generation for the business and the properties that the family owned as well.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. So what were you doing prior to joining in the early years?
Well, I was with a religious nonprofit, and I, at that point, was running all of the national brand and national conferences. So 5,000 people get together every 2 years, and I ran those conferences. And then we also did a major global rebranding, and I headed up a lot of those elements. And so a lot of those hospitality things really transitioned well into this market, especially the brand. So we took a 40-year-old Mountain Laurel Chalets brand and brought new life to it. It was really exciting to do that and kind of use some of my marketing background. So that brand still has a great life ahead of it. And we took the best of all the first 40 years. And then we just celebrated 50 years last year. Wow. And did another rebrand, a refresh, really. Alex, you know, branding is more than just the logo. It's the it's the heart, it's the voice, it's the core values, all those elements. And so we really did a deep dive and did qualitative and quantitative research with our guests, former owners, past guests, happy guests, disappointed guests. What was it about the Mountain Laurel Chalets difference? Because as you all know, in the Smoky Mountains, there's a huge amount of competition. There's a lot of other great companies, and there's a lot of new startups that go on there. And so we needed to see how could we distinguish ourselves. And so that branding has really served us well. And I think that's one of the main things from my former life that I've brought into this endeavor that has been really exciting.
The thing I think that is so unique about Gatlinburg, and for there's many reasons, but the companies that are up there, obviously, you know, Mount Laurel Chalets, Auntie Bellum's, Lord Madewell's company, all of those companies that are, you know, above at the upper echelon, I would say, of, you know, highly respected by their guests, their owners, well-known in the community. They have done unique things to separate themselves. And I say that, you know, in comparison to some of these beach markets that I go to, that you've got companies that they all have basically the same kind of name. They've got the same colors. They basically are saying the same message. And it really, it becomes that sea of sameness, as we call it, that there is not really a whole lot of differentiation. But when I think of your company, or like, you know, Antebellum's, I can see that in my mind. And I can not just visually what your logo looks like, but I can see the experience that you've shared and what the connection that you make with your owners and your guests. And it's really cool to see it. I think, you know, like you said, there's a lot of competition where you're at, but the way that people choose to differentiate, that's completely on you. And that's your kind of your runway to growth, to, you know, truly be unique within the market. You guys have done a great job with that.
I appreciate that. And hats off to John and Lauren and Mallory at Bellum's and a slew of other really excellent companies, respectable, professionally run vacation rental management companies in the area. And my heart and burden is that everyone would kind of rise to a standard of professionalism. And a lot of the newer companies, it's just a lack of exposure. And so it's a great to have podcasts like this in our industry to help people become professional and know how to do that. And it is important to distinguish yourself in the midst of a sea of maybe what we might call a sea of mediocrity. How do you stand up as a bright star? And not really, when I said competition, there's a dense, there's 25,000 properties in our county. Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, and it's 10 hours from 70% of the U.S. population to drive to market. So it's 10 months out of the year busy. And Dollywood's opening up 12 months out of the year coming forward. So it's
really
increasing, which is great. So my perspective on that is really to have an abundance mentality. And even when I was on the phone with Lauren this morning, telling her some of the updates and things, I don't see Lauren as a competitor. I want them to win. And they want us to win, because that elevates the whole industry. And so if you're looking at, you know, secrecy and not sharing best knowledge and best practices, then it's really a scarcity mentality. And it's a take and grab and keep, because you're afraid. But instead of having a sense of abundance, of giving and generosity, and I think we're really seeing that a lot, not only in our market, but in our whole industry, shared knowledge, shared experience, and people want other people to win. And then we all win.
I love that. And I know, Alex, it speaks to my heart like a lot. You know, I had somebody tell me today that they watched my career, and the one thing that was consistent through everything that I had done was my kindness. And that was like, I focused everything on the kindness factor of like, we can all get along, we can all work together. And Tom, you and I have had some exchanges through LinkedIn, through some other people that maybe just don't have that mentality. And I think the scarcity mentality is kind of where some people rest in that I've got to have it all and nobody else can have it, instead of like, we all are better together, working together, sharing that knowledge. And Alex and I have talked to a lot of people that I think that there is a shift in the mentality. And it used to be, when I started in the business back in the late 90s, it was very much of like, don't look over here, don't talk to me, don't come on my property, don't, you know, it was just very much everybody built a wall around themselves. And that's just not the way it is anymore. I think we all want to work together and share our mistakes as much as our successes, and make sure that other people don't have to go through the same ups and downs.
I agree. And I hope that there would be a sense of camaraderie and a sense of shoulder to shoulder, we can do this together, even with people in the same market.
Absolutely.
When the destination wins and when the companies within the destination work together, that typically is what happens. I was just up in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge a couple months ago for our Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce board retreat. And we met with the Gatlinburg CVB and some of the entities in Pigeon Forge. And it was funny because they said to us, they said, we've never done a trip like this. You know, we needed to have our retreat down in Myrtle Beach. And we said, absolutely, we'd love to host you. But it's something that we've embraced here, as, you know, we also want to work with other destinations, because we know, I mean, Myrtle Beach and the Smoky Mountains, and actually in Panama City where Annie is, we all share very similar guests, or actually I would say at least our guests definitely go to the Smoky Mountains. They probably a little less overlap between people going to Myrtle and Panama City necessarily, but people that are going to the Smoky Mountains, typically we're sharing them for sure. So we know the people don't always want to go to the same place.
Our employees go to Myrtle Beach for vacation. Our employees
and vice versa.
Exactly.
So yeah. I go to the Gulf Shores as well. So that area. So yeah, I do think there's a lot that we can learn from each other.
Yeah. You said that you worked in like the religious meeting sphere. That's where my background started in the hotel business in terms of like meetings and my event planning was on like the religious. I did religious and sports stuff. And so worked with a lot of groups in the Southeast. And I think maybe that's where I feel like we maybe have some similarities in like that spirit of just selflessness and giving and helping. And we're not all going to be the same. We're not all going to be given the same opportunity. But if we can share to help people to find their opportunities or their next best thing, I mean, I think that that's something that both of those businesses, it's very needed. And I feel like maybe we both learned that, kind of like people learn the hospitality at Disney. Maybe we learned that spirit of giving and kindness on the religious planning side of things. Who knows?
I think everyone has an opportunity to change someone else's life. Obviously in the religious market, that's a huge goal, you know, for that. And I'm committed to change lives and seeing that people leave better than they came. So when we would plan a conference, people need to be refreshed. They need to be renewed. They need to be inspired. When guests are coming for a vacation, we want them to leave better than they came. We want them to think, I've received exactly what I was looking for. And that is a good definition of hospitality. It also relates to our employees. You know, the last 11 years, I've seen a lot of employees come and go. And my heart and my first meeting with all of them, I said, you know, you might not be here for 10 years, 20 years, although I have a couple employees, one that's over 30 years, one that's 20, one that's 17. So there's a lot of loyalty with that. But those that have gone on to do other things or have moved, my heart has always been, I want you to leave a better person than you came. And we want to invest in you. We want to contribute to your well-being. And I think when that's the motivation, it's really more than just a business or just a job. You want to give them a sense of, I'm here for a reason. And part of that can be involved in helping people's attitudes, they're creating memories and, you know, essentially changing their lives, which is exciting.
Yeah. Attitude is everything. And this can be a very fulfilling business, but it can also be a very draining business. And I think as long as you have leadership that is supporting that mindset, then that trickles down to your people for sure. And guests can feel it. I mean, we all know whenever we check in, whether it's a hotel or a vacation rental or wherever it is, if you don't feel like somebody is having a good day and they're not making you feel like you belong there and you're welcome, I mean, it's a terrible experience all around. So investing in your people is definitely something that's important. And I do know that you have an incredible amount of repeat business, right? Which makes sense. That comes from creating that guest experience. Tell us a little bit about how you've built up that repeat business and maybe some of the things that you do on the marketing side to get people to come back.
I will have to say this first and foremost is that I have inherited an incredible treasure in the business. 40 years in, that's when I started running the business, and I had this like gold mine and a treasure and thinking, okay, what do I do this? How do I care for this? It's like a diamond and you want to present it in the best way possible and protect it and care for it. And so my in-laws had created an incredible legacy of hospitality. And it was simple in the beginning. Who else was doing vacation rental homes in 1972?
Yeah, very few.
Other companies. Yeah. You know, we weren't. So they're like, you know, I think that's a unique factor. So you have 40 years of history and people became loyal and repeat guests because they were treated with kindness and dignity and respect and with hospitality, and that we extended a gracious welcome to them. And this is how we painted the picture. Every time I would go to Dot and Ralph's house, my mother and father-in-law, the grandparents, I have five kids, we'd go up there. Every time we went to the house, there were fresh flowers at our bedsides. There were gifts waiting for us. And anytime guests would come to the house, there were handwritten name cards at the dinner table.
Oh my gosh.
And the guests were known and they were wanted. And that permeated into the business. And so Dot's office would be right behind the front desk and people would come into the office and check in because they wanted to see Dot or her sister, my Aunt Edna, who was also a receptionist there. So they would come every October and then they would want to see Dot. And so I started in 2012 running this business, which had already created this legacy. That's a dream. The key at that point was, okay, I need to steward this in a way that is going to accelerate it in a very different market in 2012 than it was in 1972. And they would advertise twice in Southern Living and got all their business for the year.
Yeah, it was all phone books and newspapers and magazines back then.
Everything was in a graph sheet of paper.
And
tackle box, a fishing tackle box was the cash box.
Yeah.
And when I took over, we were still doing cash and there people were still sending checks in.
Oh, wow.
Taking American Express because my mother-in-law didn't want people to go into credit card debt. So there's this old school, you know, stuff going on, which is just unbelievable. So we just really have continued that legacy, and social media has definitely helped. We've really accelerated that. And quite honestly, in 2016, we took a huge turn. And in 2016, November 27th, or I think 28th, were the fires in Gatlinburg, 2,500 buildings. And in one night, we went from just under 100 properties to under 50. And several of those were our family homes that burned down. Acreage all around our office. If you all are coming to Gatlinburg next time, drive up Ski Mountain Road, you'll see all the acres that was decimated. Our office was protected and we didn't lose the office. So that was an outpost for all of the first responders and the aid that came that used the bathroom. We provided free lunches. We had tools, Red Cross, that camped out in our front office just to distribute things for the first responders. And that came just from a heart of hospitality. And we started telling the story. And what is the story of how are we going to serve our community? And every major news outlet interviewed me. We were on every broadcast. Dolly did a whole program, featured what we were doing to serve first responders. And that wasn't a marketing ploy. That was just what we do. This is how you respond. And, we were devastated. We'd lost half our business. We had no idea if the city of Gatlinburg was destroyed or decimated. And, it has rebounded in an unbelievable way. And so many people within the community have joined arms together and rebuilt it. But the amazing thing is our guest loyalty. They shared in our tragedy. They shared in the response and they shared humanity of giving and sacrifice. And at that point, we realized we created a program called Family First, and that was for our repeat guests. And we didn't know what level to start the repeat guest program at. So we only accepted people in the program that had booked with us five or more times. And now that level of Family First program is over 2,000 families have stayed with us over five times. And many of those are 30, 40, 50 times.
Yeah.
Third, fourth generation. Incredible. So our repeat business represents 50% of our business. And we've just captured those relationships and have connected with them personally. Some small things we do, we exchange Christmas cards. So we ask all of our guests to mail us their Christmas cards and photos, and they get entered into a free two-night stay. So Tam from Ohio, I think she's a Family First member because she sent us her Christmas card, and we send out 2,300 Christmas cards to our repeat guests. So we treat them like family and we involve them as family. They all get gifts when they come. They all get special notices, kind of it's a loyalty program without having a real formality points or loyalty program. And it worked out really well for us.
Attention property owners and hosts. If you want to keep those five-star cleanliness ratings soaring and your guests smiling, listen up. Introducing Turno, your ultimate solution for simplifying and automating the entire cleaning management process. Say goodbye to the hassle and hello to high-quality, timely turnovers that guarantee those top-rated guest reviews.
With Turno, you can automatically schedule, manage, and pay your short-term rental cleaners, ensuring a seamless and efficient operation.
And here's the best part. Turno's Cleaner Marketplace boasts over 55,000 vetted short-term rental cleaning pros ready to elevate your property management game.
Turno lets you manage cleaner performance with features like auto scheduling synced directly to your booking calendar, auto payments, photo checklists, problem reporting, and even inventory management.
But that's not all. Keep your cleaner communications organized with centralized chat and photo sharing all in one convenient place. Plus, they've made on-the-go management a breeze with separate mobile apps tailored for both hosts and cleaners. And just in case you need a lifeline, Turnos live 24/7 customer support is always at your service. Because at Turno, they're not just a platform, they're your partner in success.
And there's a special treat for the listeners of the Alex and Annie podcast. When you try Turno and its cleaner marketplace, you'll receive a $150 Amazon gift card exclusively as our thank you to you.
So here's how it works. New users can sign up at turno.com/alexnannypodcast. Search for a cleaner in your area, connect with one or more, and then complete a marketplace cleaning. Once you see how easy and simple cleaning management can be, you'll love how much time and money you save, not to mention no more cleaning headaches. Now back to the show.
Tragedy brings out the best and the worst in people, but I think I have found it brings out more of the best and the good and the things that you didn't know were there. And it creates bonds and relationships that you've not likely would never have had that not occurred. But one of the things you had to do was rebuild, you know, not only the community, you had to rebuild your sense of safety, your sense of purpose in the market. You had to rebuild your business. And so working with owners is really important. And I think that's one of the things that you shine a light on and you do a phenomenal job on is working with your owners and recognizing that relationship with those owners is so valuable. And you treat them with the same respect and dignity and love and hospitality that you do your guests. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the programs you do with your owners?
That's great. Our owners, there's three, it's the property, it's the guest, and it's the owner. You know, those are the three core things. Or you can, you know, focus on the guests and focus on the owners. And I say, yes, we need
all three.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely. But our core values extend to our three core values of we believe that family matters, we believe in exceeding expectations, and we believe we are generous stewards. We want all of our guests to experience that, but more importantly, we want our owners to experience that. And something my in-laws started, and of course I just received the legacy of, was an annual owners meeting where we would have a dinner the Friday night before the annual homeowners association meeting. So where we are located is in this chalet village area of Gatlinburg. It's the historic chalet area. It's kind of all after Swiss names and so forth. And before there were cabins, everyone had chalets. So the Ski Chalet Homeowners Association meets the last Saturday of every April. So my mother-in-law said, well, people are coming in Friday. Why don't we have them for dinner? So over 40 years ago, we started the annual homeowners meeting. So we would have the owners for dinner. We would give them updates on what we were doing for marketing, how to best improve their homes. We'd give out different awards. And it was a family time, a family meal and a family celebration. And that was just an annual event. And I thought everyone did it because I'd been going for 30 years. And I just assumed, well, that's what people do. When I got into the industry in 2012, I would tell people, they're like, you mean you have all your owners
in one room? Yeah, are you crazy?
That's just how we've done it. And so that then forces you to lead with integrity and to have common expression contracts with everyone that you're, you know, working with. And so we took it up a little bit of a notch. And this last year, we decided, well, we want to invite other people into the family. So we're thinking about ways to, you know, expose other potential RBOs. People are renting on their own or with other competitors in our area. Do you want to hear about the Mountain Laurel Chalet's difference? Come to our owners meeting, meet some of our owners. We partnered with Ober Mountain, which is an incredible, the only ski resort in Tennessee. It's located 2 miles from our office where all of our homes are located. They gave us their ballroom area that outlooks the ski slopes in downtown Gatlinburg. And the mayor came and opened the evening. And we had a banjo, 15-year-old banjo player from Dollywood, who was unbelievable, who was on our float this last year. We had David Angotti come speak about market trends. We partnered with Explori. So Trey Barton came and told about the Explori program. We're a part of the 100 Collection. So Travis came and spoke about the 100 Collection. And the big draw was David Angotti talking about market trends, because this time last year, people were really worried. Things are slowing down. It's not COVID anymore. What's the future going to be? So he did a brilliant presentation.
Yeah.
As he always does on market trends. And we had 160 people there, and there were 45 potential new owners that weren't a part of our program that came in. And so we just invited them into what we experience, and our owners loved it. All of our cleaners came, our maintenance team came. We had local barbecue. We had a comedian at the end of the night. It was really so much fun. So we've already booked Ober Mountain this year for the last Friday of April. If anyone wants to come and see what that looks like.
We might want to come and cover that.
Yeah,
if we're invited.
That sounds like an Alex and Annie trip.
Yeah, it definitely does. And again, I love going to Gatlinburg. Any excuse I can get to go up there. That is so cool, Tom. And a couple of things just stand out to me. I mean, we talk a lot about being able to bring together the different sides of the industry and to bring together the RBOs that maybe don't necessarily know the service and what they're missing by being on a professionally managed program. What a great way to do that. I don't know that I've heard of anybody quite doing it in that way. I think that's just excellent. And for your owners to hear from David Angotti, who, you know, in a lot of cases when he presents, even in front of property managers, a lot of what he says, some people have a hard time kind of keeping up with him. The owners must have just been blown away because this is not lingo and jargon that they hear on a daily basis, but that had to have been very impressive, I'm sure.
We do try to educate our owners and walk them through the rates and projections and so forth. But having a third party outside person come in do that was great. And it also, when I look back at it, I think inviting people that in the STR community are doing it on their own is an expression of abundance. I really want them to succeed. So we've also created a white paper on best practices for STRs. And we've made David's video available on our website. So we want to share that information with these people that are doing it on their own. And I only wish them the best of luck. It is a hard job. 75 homes, 100 or 500. It is a hard job.
Yep.
I want everyone that's committed to it to really have a sense of professionalism and a heart for hospitality. And I would add, there's no way an event like that could happen. I'm a visionary. I love to think of new ideas and always new things. But if I didn't have the team I had to fulfill that and to make it happen, there's absolutely no way that it would have happened. Jordan Watts, who directs my marketing and communications, really ran with the program, that meeting and all the giveaways and the awards. Corey Hawks, who's my COO, was on stage with David Angotti talking about the trends. All the house cleaners were there. Our property manager, Kay, who's been with us for over 30 years, greeting the guests. They have those relationships with the owners. It's not the Tom show. And I almost kind of wish all those people staying behind me, and because they're the ones that make these dreams and the visions happen. And they were doing it well before I came on the scene. I want to harness and steward, you know, their greatest resources and really do events like this, which has been exciting. And the celebratory issue was really Corey Hawks, my COO's idea. He goes, we need to do something fun, not just a business meeting. We need something really fun. Then Jordan brought in the family-friendly comedian and, you know, the banjo player, who's just awesome. And so just a lot of fun elements. So now we're beginning to think, okay, what are we going to do this August? If you have any ideas, y'all can let me know.
Did you end up getting any new homeowners from that?
Yes. The next day we acquired two new homes in the program and just had met with another family who came to that event. And, you know, it's a long sales cycle for sure.
Yeah.
And, they're considering coming on our program as well. And they've been doing it with another national brand, maybe get heads on beds and really good occupancy, but doesn't have the care for their home. And that's a little bit more of our distinct contribution is the care for homes. And Annie, you had mentioned that fires, we lost homes. We took care of the excavation for all of our homeowners of the 47 homes that were destroyed.
Oh, wow.
Not knowing if they would ever come back on the program.
Oh, my gosh.
But they were part of our Mount Laurel Chalets family. So we hired the excavators. We paid the excavators. We got the money from them before they could get their insurance. We walked them through the insurance claims. And then I started building houses. So now my COO has become a general contractor. We've built 8 homes. They've done major renovations on other homes, about 45 different projects we've done. So if an owner comes to us and says, we'd like to come on your program, and then their house doesn't meet the standard, but they want to make the improvements, we've got the whole construction crew that can go in and bring it up to the standard. With all the fires, all these new beautiful homes are built, so the older homes come up to the standards as well.
So is there anything that Tom can't do?
Oh, there's a lot.
I'm just marveling. So when I was in property management, the market that I'm in is very condo heavy. So we didn't have a lot of homes, but homeowners associations, we had the largest company I was at. I want to say we had 15 at one point. So the fall was when the homeowners meetings would happen. And we did a similar thing, but we did it by homeowners association. So the meetings were on Saturday mornings and we would do a luau on the pool deck or something. And I was always the one that had to do it, like go around, like get everybody, twist arms to get people to come, like present, like the CBB, they'd come present every Saturday. And finally, after about five or six meetings, they're like, here, you can present this deck or whatever. We did that. And I think that like showing homeowners that you value them, they'll tell somebody else. And even if they pull their unit off rental, they're going to say, like, I had a really great experience with this company and they valued me as an owner. They valued my property. They took care of my investment. And that's so critical because I think some of the companies, especially the ones that don't have a local presence, it's just numbers. It's just completely a numbers game. And the units get overbooked. They get overused. They're not cleaned when they should be. And the owner starts to feel sort of, you know, pushed aside and not part of the value chain of the whole industry. So I think what you're doing is important. And I think that the legacy companies and markets are the ones that can shine in that. And you're a great example of, you know, you're not looking to be all things to everybody, but you're looking to just be a good steward of the business for all pieces of it. And I love everything that you're doing. And it's wonderful.
Thank you.
I think it's important too. And Tom, I believe you were in this roundtable discussion that I was in at DARM that Sarah Bradford hosted. One of the questions that came up basically was about owners and how do you keep showing them your value proposition when, you know, you're not in front of them, because let's be honest, not everybody can have an event like you had. I mean, I think everybody would love to, but that might not always be possible. But how do you make sure that your value is front and center and they understand how much that goes into this business, that it's not just as easy as finding a co-host and, you know, giving your property away. And that really comes down to that's consistent communications. Do you stay in touch with your owners throughout the year, like newsletters, or how else are you communicating with them?
We have at least a monthly communication. It's usually twice a month and it's called the family room. And
oh,
so
I love that.
And it's Jordan does that for me. So we come up with all the content information we need to communicate with them. We announce new homes on the program, new challenges. We just launched a new website 3 days ago. And so at least every month. We started it every week and it was ambitious. It was all video. And we did TikTok type videos, you know, with the owners. And most of our owners didn't watch the videos. So we started doing video and content and they were just reading the content. We said, okay, we're going to respond to our demographic.
Yeah.
We're going to write them a really informational newsletter called The Family Room, and it has separate links. So all of our owners have my cell phone, have our COO's cell phone, our property manager's cell phone. They have access to us. We know them all by name. We're small. So we have 75 homes. You know, we had 100 before the fires. We went down to below 50, and we have had slow growth and scale it according to the company size and what we want to deliver and who we want to be. We've never had the ambition of being 500 or more. We want to have the real high touch experience. When I took over the company, we had a separate, smaller kind of budget based company next door that we acquired because we wanted to keep the land next to us. And our company, so it was 160 homes total that we had. And there were about 40 of them that were causing all the headaches, the relationship with the owners and the quality of the homes. So within 6 months, I fired those owners and gave them the opportunity to stay, but they had to make improvements. But we lost, we went from 160 to 120 in 6 months, and we increased our revenues by 66%.
That's such a great story to tell.
Our employee satisfaction by 500. Yeah. So it's the 80-20 principle. In our case, it was maybe a little higher than 80-20. The bottom 35% were really weighing us down, and it prevented our brand from having a stronger presence. So when we distilled down who we were and we more presented our brand, and we want to have homes that are affordable to all different demographics and all socioeconomic scale. But we want those homes to be clean. We want those homes to be welcoming. We want them to be updated. But there are some incredibly beautiful, luxurious homes that sell really well. And there are some really great budget homes that do well.
That's important to have a diverse portfolio, because you know you are in a market that is attracting from so many different regions of the U.S. And so you've got urban folks, you've got people that are, you know, country, and this is the one time they get away every year. And that's important. I think a lot of people don't recognize that you can make money and have, you know, varied tiers of business. You don't have to be all luxury. You don't have to be all budget. You can have that. But the important thing is to also recognize that it's not necessarily the property. It's the relationship with the owner is important as well. It's like, because if the owner is not going to be a good partner, then that overall is just not a good experience for your staff or your guests at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that a lot this year. The companies that grew in the last few years, you know, during COVID era, that they took on a bunch of properties that they, it's hard to turn down, right? It's hard to turn down business, but now they're realizing, okay, we actually took on properties that maybe don't really fit that great on our program, or they are more of a headache to keep them on there. And now is the time to really, you know, do that soul searching and decide, is it worth keeping them? Or is it worth going to them, like you said, and saying, if you want to stay on the program, these are the things that you have to do, or it's just, it's not a good fit anymore. And that's really where the brand comes into play, really getting honest with yourself and your company and what your objectives are of what type of properties you want to represent, what experience you want to be able to deliver. And if you're not able to do that because you've got properties that are not conducive, then you have to make that hard decision. But it's a hard one to make, because if you know that there's still money on the other end, a lot of companies don't want to give it up. But it's good to hear stories like yours of success and being able to prune a little bit and then actually see the fruits of it that are better than what you had before.
Yeah, the pruning from the fire was a little more pruning than we had signed up for.
Yeah, that's not the pruning anyway.
You can't plan for that.
Wants, but yeah. Well, Tom, it was super amazing to have you on here today. Like we said, we've had you on our list to reach out to for a long time, and this opportunity just kind of popped up for this week. So very glad to get to see you today and hear more about the company. Is there anything that you're looking forward to this year, maybe that you want to share, or any news coming up at Mount Laurel Chalets?
Yes, actually, we acquired another business on January 1st.
Oh, and, wow.
Congratulations.
So a small family-owned business, and we are in the throes of it. It's the 5th of January right now. So we flipped the switch on January 1st, and we are keeping that as a separate brand for now, but it gives us a little bit of a footprint in the Sevier County area. Our office is located as far into Gatlinburg as you can possibly get, up Ski Mountain Road. And so when our employees are committed to working for us, they are very committed, because they're driving by about 150 other vacation rental management companies.
With a lot of traffic in the summertime.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Having this other outpost will allow Mount Laurel to have a bit of a reach. And then also this other brand will provide maybe more of the budget level homes, cabins. And that would give a more entry level vacationer an opportunity. And so we're deciding what we're going to do specifically with that brand, if we're going to keep that or merge it within to Mount Laurel. But that's an exciting opportunity for us. I feel like I'm starting all over again, taking all the best practices of what I've learned in the last 11 years and immediately applying it in the back end, specifically cleaning and maintenance and operational systems. And I will tell you, everything that I have learned through y'all and through numerous other podcasts and the conferences I've gone to has increased the value of our company and has allowed us to move into what could be a real scary situation with this other company and bring some order and some profitability.
Yeah.
We're in it for profit, right. For sure. Yeah. We want that things are profitable, not just a hobby. But I am so grateful for all that I've learned and gained from this community and the generosity other people have given to me, mentoring me and coaching me and befriending me and sharing their best practices and ideas, because like you had said, shoulder to shoulder, when we're all together, we're much better. So we're looking forward to that in 2024. And I have mentioned before that I am in the planning stages for a very local podcast, not a vacation rental podcast, but more of the backstory of our local community.
Oh, I love it. That. Well, love you definitely it. Have to let us know when that comes out. And honestly, I think we would love to follow your journey this year with that new company. If you want to come back maybe once a quarter and check in with us, we've got a couple other people that were doing those types of interviews this year, just to kind of hear in the trenches what's happening and the, you know, the struggles, but also the triumphs. So we'd love to hear about it as it goes.
We would love it. And it would help us document.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a lot of crazy that goes on. It's like,
yeah. You forget about it, right? Yeah. I mean, if you don't document it, you forget about
Corey,
it.
Corey, my CEO, texts me today. He goes, would you ever imagine this happening? And it happens every day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But what a great business to be in that we have all these surprises.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it
is. I would love that. Thank you for that invitation.
Awesome. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. Tom, what's the best way for anybody to reach out to you?
You can reach me at LinkedIn. That's probably the best place to reach me, at Tom Goodwin with Mountain Laurel Chalets.
Great. We'll include that in the show notes. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will see you next time.